This episode of the Random Variety Show is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Visit audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow to get your free download. And now, on with the show.
This is John Labonte from the Damn Short Film Festival, and you're listening to the Random Variety Show podcast, season 2, episode number...
Funky number 4. It's the Random Variety Show podcast with Charlie Miller. Hey, that's me! It's the only bi-weekly podcast that's random, has variety, and is a show. Hey, thanks for downloading and listening to another great episode of the Random Variety Show. Today our guests are Nate, Grant, Justin, and sometimes John. Those are the guys from Epic PodQuest podcast. But before we get to anything, let's move right into...
the segment that is random,
a.k.a.
the Random Segment.
Ah, yes, the random segment. Well, since this episode's airing on the 15th of February, the day after Valentine's Day, I'm going to tell you what we did, or will do, since I'm recording this before Valentine's Day, for Valentine's Day. Now, with Drew, he's going to be 5 months on the 15th of February. Yay. Can you believe it's been 5 months? I can't believe it's been 5 months. It's crazy. I can believe it's been 5 months, but I can't believe it's been 5 months. Anyway... about three and a half months ago, she comes to me and she says, I would like to have this. And she didn't say specifically for Valentine's Day. She didn't say specifically for Mother's Day, birthday, or anything. She just something that she wanted. So I looked at it and I said, we could do this for Valentine's Day. Now, I said that in my mind. I didn't say that out loud. So I, behind her back, I went and got it. I'm still waiting for the little item to arrive. It's a little pendant that she presented to me. And that's my point. She presented it to me saying, this is what I want. And it was in that moment I said, thank you, in my mind. Because, guys... well, not all guys, but a majority of guys, you know that trying to go out and find something that you know your wife will just love can be a challenge because you wonder how will she react to whatever. There's certain things are off limits you just don't get. There are certain things that, you know, if you get them, they're kind of cheesy, but they're good standbys, you know, flowers or whatever it may be. A knickknack, whatever, stuffed animal, doesn't matter. They're standbys. Everybody has them. Well, when she presented this item to me, it's a little pendant that she found online. And I'm not telling you because I'm hoping she's going to send in a voicemail or I can get her to record and let you know how she felt about it. But anyway, that's another story. So right now, as I'm recording this, I'm waiting for it to arrive. It's supposed to be here in the next 2 days. In time for Valentine's Day, and she's not expecting it. And because she doesn't listen to the show as it airs, she's going to know about this and hear about it and have it in her possession before she even hears this. So, Rebecca, when you hear this, don't slap me. It's just a story to tell for the podcast. Anyway, it's so nice when ladies and women and girls tell the guy or their partner that they're with what they specifically want. Why? Because, number one, you get what you want. It's something you have been thinking about, looking at, desiring, whatever the case may be, and you get it. How perfect is that? Guys, how simple and easier it is to just get something that they actually have told you they want versus... trying to find something that you think they will want. So, for next Valentine's Day, ladies, at least around, oh, I'd say Christmas or New Year's, drop a hint as to what you would like. And if the hint doesn't work, be blunt. Go to the guy, go to your husband, go to your boyfriend, or significant other, we're not biased here, and say, this is what I want. And be specific, Valentine's Day, birthday, Mother's Day, whatever it is. So, I'm hoping that she's going to be listening to this, probably an episode or two behind, and we'll send in a voicemail. Another thing I want to talk about in the random segment is, we just hit 100 likes on the Facebook page in the last couple weeks. Thank you, all the listeners and subscribers. You don't know how wonderful it was to see that 100 likes on the Facebook page. And in fact, I even got an email from Facebook saying, you've reached 100. Yay! Or whatever it said. I got it too long ago, and I'm not going to read it because it's just a marketing thing. But the inner feeling that I felt when I reached 100 was amazing because The Facebook page has only really been around for about a year now. I think I started it at the end of January, beginning of February. So to get 100 likes in that year on a show that I know doesn't suit everybody's taste, it's not your standard podcast. In fact, I guarantee you're not going to find another podcast out there like mine, at least as this recording. So a big hearty thank you to all the 100 people that have liked the show. And why don't you do us all a favor, do yourselves, do me, do the show, tell a friend. Or at least consider telling a friend, because that's how podcasts grow. You know, you like it, you listen to it every episode, or even every other episode, or you pick and choose the episode you listen to. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just glad that you're listening. And let's say you're out, you know, having some dinner or some drinks, or, you know, you're over at a friend's house playing Parcheesi or something, and, you know, conversation comes up, and, hey, what do you listen to, or what do you like to do? Well, consider telling them about podcasts. Consider telling them about the Random Variety Show podcast. I would appreciate it, and I'm sure in the long run, so would they.
This is Truth and Lies.
Reminding you that there is no need to RSVP for the RVSP. Just subscribe on iTunes.
And those were the guys from the band Truth and the Lies. They were on episode 2, season 2. So go back to the archives and listen to that. They share some songs. They share some funny stories. It was a fun time in that conversation. And go back and listen to it if you haven't. Thanks again, guys. I really do appreciate it. And a big thank you to John Labonte from the Damn Short Film Festival for opening our show today. Thanks, John. I hope the festival went well. And I really do appreciate you spreading the word of the Random Variety Show.
Hi everyone, I'm Mark.
I'm Jay.
I'm Phil.
I'm Crowbar.
And I'm Adib.
And we are Following the Nerd.
And we would like you guys to follow it too.
But why take our word for it?
Here's a few others you might know who follow us too.
Hey there, this is James Arnold Taylor.
Hi, this is Jessica Nicole.
Hello, I'm Sylvester McCoy.
Hi, my name is Walter Koenig.
Hi, this is Colin Meaney.
I'm Following the Nerd.
And I'm Following the Nerd.
I'm Following the Nerd.
I play Astrid Farnsworth on Fringe, and I am Following the
Voice
Nerd.
Voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi on Star Wars The Clone Wars.
I am Following the Nerd.
We love movies.
TV.
Comics.
Video games.
Tabletop gaming.
Toys, collectibles, and the paranormal, the paranormal, the paranormal, the paranormal, the paranormal, the paranormal, the paranormal. You can find us at www.facebook.com/followingthenerd. You can tweet us at nerdfollowing. Or for all the latest news, reviews, and interviews, you can check out our website at www.followingthenerd.com. Now you can find us on the Pod Gods Network.
It's time for Groucho's Corner here on the Random Variety Show. Now, if you're tuning in for the very first time, first and foremost, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. Second, I highly suggest that you go back to the archives, whether it's iTunes or randomvarietyshow.com, and listen to, well, either the prequel episode, Season 1, Episode 00, or the anniversary show, Season 2, Episode 1. Why? Well, my interview with Groucho Marx is in both of those episodes, and it establishes why he's on my show. But in a nutshell, I was searching the internet for people to interview. I stumbled across the disembodied voice of Groucho Marx, who graciously accepted my offer to come help me with my podcast. And, well, the rest is history. Today, our guests are the guys from Epic PodQuest, and they talk about Star Wars, Star Trek, movies, technology, podcasting, friendship. Oh, a great time was had by all. This interview was recorded on October 17th, 2012. Due to publishing times and Drew's birth and the holidays and everything else, well, now it's airing here in February. So first, guys, thank you so much for your patience. I really do appreciate it. Also, there were some Skype issues. I did what I could to clean it up. Reggie did what he could to clean it up.
Reginald.
Oh, I'm sorry, Reginald. I'm so sorry. Yes, Reginald, our producer, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, Reginald. So, we did what we could to clean it up. There's still some Skype hiccups in there. Please bear with us. Overall, a great time was had by all. All right, enough of me talking. Take it away. Hello, and welcome to Groucho's Corner on the Random Variety Show. Today, we have three wonderful gentlemen from Epic PodQuest with us today. Gentlemen, introduce yourselves.
I'm Nate Jones.
I'm Grant LaHaye.
And I'm Justin Scottum.
Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome, welcome. Thanks so much for taking my call this evening.
Yeah, I was surprised to get a call from you, Groucho.
Well, don't lie now. I know you set it up with Charlie earlier. He does talk to me, you know.
Had a little bit to do with it, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's the producer of the show. He better have a lot to do with it. So let's get down to cases. So the three of you do a show called Epic PodQuest. How did that start? Well, let's ask about how the three of you got together. How did you three become friends and or podcasters?
Okay, well, this is Grant. I'll go ahead and take that question first. So basically, I met Justin while he worked at a comic book shop. I was working for a national coffee chain at the time. And we'd sit outside and just kind of just gab a little bit. We just talk a little bit about what was going on, and we ended up meeting that way. And then I met Nate through another coffee shop that I ended up working at. And kind of from there, we all did a film together. And that's where we really started kind of mingling, and that's where the friendship began, really.
We've been the three best friends that anyone can have.
Ah, the original three amigos. So tell us a little bit about this film that brought the three of you really together. Is it available online?
Well, you can actually watch it on IMDb. The film is called Trading Cards. It is the very, very first film that I actually ever wrote or produced.
When did we make it?
2007.
That? 2007, wow. Yeah.
And, well, congratulations for having the IMDb credit. Did you submit that to any festivals?
We actually submitted it to about 5 or 6 different festivals, and They all said no. We were rejected from every single one of them. But
well, at least it was unanimous.
There was no second guessing. They said, nope, just we don't want that, but here's an IMDb credit. And I'll say, I'll take it.
Exactly.
Well, you take what you can get it these days.
A little artistic short film that we shot all about the perceptions versus realities of recreational narcotics usage.
Yeah.
And so trading cards was about kind of a euphemism for passing drugs and trading drugs around. So
yeah. So the first project we did together, we decided, let's just go for the darkest, deepest subject we could possibly fathom and have really no experience with whatsoever.
Yeah.
Sure. But we filmed it in about 12 hours.
It was 16.
Or 16 hours. It was all done in one day. We edited the whole thing in about 24 hours. And
from start to finish, what, 2 weeks with everything?
It was about 2 months with everything. Yeah. But from actual production to submitting it was about 2 weeks.
On a $0 budget.
Yeah. My role was to just make out with my girlfriend, now wife, on the couch.
This is true.
Make really bad music for it.
Well, that sounds like a perfect combination.
Yes. Now, as for the podcast, after that film, we kept working on some other projects. We made like an internet pilot for a cardboard robot TV show called American Robots in Amerispace. And that's where we really started kind of experiencing like writing for comedy. Eventually, you know, friendship just kept growing and growing and growing. We did that in 08. And then from there, you know, we kind of just did, I had a project and we worked on something. Somebody else had a project and we worked on something. And really it came down, we were just kind of hanging out, and I think it was just me and Grant at first. And it was just kind of like, I had talked about some YouTube shows before and whatnot. And it eventually came down, and me and Grant were just kind of like, why are we doing this podcast thing? Because we were going to do it a year before we started this one, and it just kind of fell through. And we're like, yeah, we should do this.
We even bought stuff. We bought like a mixer. Like a year or two ago, we got the mixer and we got some initials started, and then we just never did anything.
Oh, so you got all the ingredients. You just never made the cake?
Yeah. Some of them we made.
We got half the ingredients. We put them in the cupboard, and then we just... cake about a year later.
Yeah. Thankfully, they weren't expired yet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they could have been expired.
Then
it would be an awful tasting cake.
Podcast. Maybe some of it did go bad.
Yeah. Well, only time will tell.
Then we, you know, obviously Justin is our next go-to guy anytime we're working on a project. And so we went and talked to Justin about it, and he said he was totally down.
Yeah, it was. You didn't come to talk to me. It was all, we all were just texting each other.
Via text, yeah. We have pretty epic
text battles.
I think a lot of people do nowadays, because texting is a whole other form of communication. I mean, back in my day, you had to pick up the telephone and call somebody. And then as time evolved, you got the cell phones, and now it's all about the texting. Who talks anymore? Unless you're on a podcast.
Exactly.
True.
But you guys texted me, a couple of months ago, and we're like, hey, we're doing a podcast. I'm like, okay, let's do this. And that's when we came up with the name Epic Podcast.
Yeah, we kind of debated format a little bit via text, and we decided, no, let's just do straightforward. Like, we're going to banter and talk like we do, and it's going to be comedy. And what should we name it? And we, the whole night, came up with some all sorts of really bad names. And I think one of us at one point described it was going to be an epic kind of podcast. And Justin
I was like, it's an epic podquest.
Yeah, Justin.
And Grant hated it right off the bat.
I loved it. Because there was also GoDaddy searches and Google searches happening every time one was...
Well, of course, you got to check to make sure that it's available and that no other schmuck has taken it.
That was one that was like open across the board, so I fell in love with it. And then it took Grant a little bit of time.
Took a couple of texts.
As it kept just... being retexted over and over again, just the name Epic Podquest, I slowly fell in love with it, and then it wouldn't leave my mind, so I just had to go with it, because it was just stuck in my mind.
Yeah, so,
and it just wouldn't leave. It just wouldn't open the door and get the hell out of there.
Definitely wouldn't do that.
So, yeah, from there, we just we decided to do it. I sold a couple guitars to raise some funds.
Ah, so you're a musician, too.
Not anymore.
Well, the ability to play is still there. You just don't have anything to play on.
I have a couple guitars. I didn't sell all the guitars, and I still have one of Grant's.
You got one of mine.
He lets me babysit for a long period of time. But then we bought all this microphones and stuff, and then again texted Justin, hey, we just spent $280 or more. You have to pay us some money back while he was at San Diego Comic-Con.
We texted him and said, hey, don't spend all of your money at Comic-Con because you have to buy some of the stuff that we just paid for.
Yeah, you didn't even really...
Well, that's certainly a surprise then.
They sent me a picture of the receipt.
They didn't even show you the stuff. They just said, look at the price. Now you gotta pay.
Well, that was kind of our kick in the butt of like, okay, we're gonna do it.
We own it now.
We spent the money. We should probably do something with it.
Yeah. Instead of just collecting dust or looking pretty in the corner. So Epic Podquest just kind of came as a slip of the tongue almost.
Yeah, it was me. I just kept texting random names. A lot of them were just complete jokes just because we weren't really listening to each other. And then it kind of hit me. I was like, you know what? This is an Epic Podquest. And it kind of hit all of the things, because we kept using the word epic over and over and over in our texts. And we're nerds. We loved, Legend of Zelda. And I was like, well, you got to go on quests on that.
Yes. Well, quest is a word that is, it just brings so many different things to the mind. When you picture the image of a quest, you've got your video game quests, and then you can take it all the way back to Don Quixote and Miguel Cervantes on his quest to fight windmills.
Exactly. So and that's what it was, is that we knew that kind of the format of our show was just, Nate brings a lot of the music knowledge and the love. Grant brings tons of movie love and knowledge, and I'm the big nerd out of all of them. And we all share a little bit of each of that.
And one thing I did forget to mention in that little explanation is our silent buddy, John, that's always over here behind us. He works with some of us, and he had some previous experience with podcasts. And so we were like, hey,
you're our producer.
How would you be interested in working with us a little bit? And he totally caught on and bit. And so he's been with us on every episode, helping us figure out everything.
He's had to deal with all crap.
And we just kind of turned him into
The
millhouse of the group.
Yes. So now the three of you basically got together by being friends and socializing through coffee shops. At least that's a summarization of the description. How did John get involved, besides you asking him, hey, you're going to be our producer?
That was really it. I mean, we kind of worked with him, and we knew he was a cool guy, and he had previous experience, so we were, hoping that he could bring that experience to the table.
And you lucked out.
We'd known him for a while.
And we just asked. I mean, it was one of those things that you know, as we were putting this whole thing together, you know, John's name had kind of come up a couple times, and I just approached John one day. I said, listen, your name has come up a couple times, and I know that you've done all of this other stuff. Would you be willing to help us produce the show?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I'd love to. And it was kind of, I turned around and said, hey, guys, John's on board if we want him.
Yeah, he's a funny guy, and we've always clicked with him.
We never second
conversation.
Yeah.
So now, why is he the silent one?
Get him to say hello.
Yeah, you want to say hello?
Yeah, come on in and say hi, John. Well, you got to get a little closer to the mic. Try it again.
Howdy.
That's better. That's better. Howdy. That's right. You guys are from Texas.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm a transplant.
Yeah.
Born and raised.
Born and raised.
And where did who transplanted and from where?
Justin, I transplanted. I'm a military brat. I married a Texas woman, and that's what brought me to Texas.
And that's good that way. But where do you hail from originally?
As a military brat, I hail from everywhere. I was born in South Carolina, and I've been all over the world, Saudi Arabia, Alaska, all throughout the United States.
Wow, how frequently did you move?
Well, I was Air Force brat, so we were typically moving about every 2 to 3 years.
Wow, that must have been difficult to make friendships.
I was fortunate enough that I like to talk, and I don't have a problem talking to anybody. So I was pretty good on the friend spot, because I remember vividly moving when I was probably about 7. We moved to Kansas, and I literally walked to every house in the neighborhood and knocked on the door and asked if they had kids.
Wow, that takes a lot of energy and, well, dare I say, cojones.
Exactly.
Strange new neighborhood, knocking on strangers' doors. Excuse me, do you have any children here? Yeah, I don't know if I'd slam the door on you or not.
But, no, I did a lot of growing up in Virginia, so I kind of consider myself a Virginian. It's where I graduated high school and did a lot of my growing up, so.
Well, that'll count. That'll count.
Family now is in Colorado, so I'll just say I'm from Colorado.
Well, you can just be from everywhere.
Instead of being a military brat.
Yeah, that'll do it to you. That'll do it to you. So did you guys, was John the only one who did a podcast or anything to do with a podcast before this? And this is the first time any of you've started one or tried one?
That is correct, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. Do you listen to any other podcasts, aside from the Random Variety Show?
We do listen to the Random Variety Show.
And it's much appreciated.
Welcome.
I think we listen to a pretty vast array of podcasts.
Yeah,
we have.
But consistently, the number one that we probably all listen to all the time would be
Nerdist
podcast.
Ah, yes, Charlie shared certain episodes with me, which is, I'm trying to think of one that I listened to just recently. It was, I think it was Greg Proops or, I remember, John Lithgow. Do you remember that episode?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a marvelous interview. Marvelous interview. He's such a dynamic actor.
Oh, yeah. They have really great interviews, and the cast and everything's really great on that.
Oh,
yeah.
I think so, too. I think it's a marvelously done podcast, and kudos to Chris Hardwick for doing that.
And I listen to a lot of the Nerdist podcasts. I listen to Making It with Ricky Lindholm of Garfunkel and Oates.
I've heard the advertisements. I haven't had a chance to get around to listening to that one, but have you listened to Big Pop Fun with Tom Wilson?
I have, actually. That's one of the other podcasts that I listen to, and I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, that one's high on the list that Charlie shares.
I would have to say I listen to some of the Smodcast as well.
Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman.
Yep.
Ah, yes, I've heard of that. I think I've listened to bits and pieces of their episodes.
Yeah, I mean, my big goal is to, for me, I try to search for indie podcasts that want to listen to and stuff like that, and especially the guys that we talk on Twitter with.
The half scoop
is definitely that.
You know, that's on Charlie's list to listen to, because he's been talking about getting them on the show as a guest.
Half Scoop is on Wicked Radio Network with us. We're a part of that network. So I also fairly just started listening to Dead Men Talking, which is a really good indie cast, actually. And then some of the other independent podcasts we listen to are 76 Street Podcast, 7 Days of Geek.
Pod Cheese
is really good.
I also listen to Mission Log.
Oh, of course you do.
Of course you do.
Star Trek.
Mission Log. It's a Roddenberry Star Trek podcast. It's fantastic.
Wow. If that's your sort of cup of tea, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, they got their market figured out.
It definitely is. Unfortunately.
But then, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
You.
We also have like Get Into Character we like a lot, and then Young Life Perception.
Young Life Perception has been guests on our show.
Yes, that was actually a really good episode.
We heard
that.
Your interview with them, Groucho.
Ah, well, yes, that was a marvelous interview. Aren't those two lads just wonderful individuals with a bunch of energy to share with the world?
They are totally. Lots of energy and a great podcast. Indeed. Great team.
Absolutely. I agree. So that's quite a list of podcasts you listen to. Would you say that most of them are along the comedic realm, or are there anything that's more informative or newsworthy?
Definitely the Star Trek podcast. I mean, Mission Log is... They break down every episode of Star Trek one episode at a time.
Oh, so my God.
It's pretty informative.
That sounds like torture for the ears.
Well, it's...
For somebody that's not a fan, I'm sure that's very torturous.
It's like a waterboard torture.
But it's cool to get a different kind of perspective on what you think that episode was about, some of the through lines and undertones of what they were trying to achieve back then as well. Because right now they're in the original series, so you're breaking down a lot of social and cultural dynamic that wasn't really talked about back then.
Well, it couldn't be talked about back then. That was groundbreaking television at the time. I think that's one of the reasons it only lasted about 3 seasons.
Yeah. I would say I don't listen to the individual podcasts, but I do listen to a lot of NPR. So Todd Glass was at the Audio Lab as well. I'll listen to anything if it piques my interest, whether it be in the pop culture realm or just good news in general. I really just like to listen to everything.
I prefer the comedy podcast probably more.
Oh, right. Totally.
I mean, it's they're better if they're informative along the way.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's really what, as far as when we created Epic Podquest, that's kind of a little bit of a format that we wanted to hit, was that there's a lot of really interesting things going on in the world, and they're not all serious,
right.
or at least if they are, we can make them funny.
Oh, absolutely. You can make fun of just about anything, as long as you put the right twist on it.
But just, you know, just talking about just the things that are going on, especially just with technology and stuff like that. So we have had the pleasure of finding a lot of very random and weird, exciting things going on in the world.
You're welcome.
Ah, who said that?
Grant.
Is Grant the grunt? Is he the one that does all the work for the research?
No, not at all, but I do my fair share. I find a lot of the really weird technology things. So just some of the fun things, like we talked about the Popinator at one point, which was a popcorn dispenser that actually would listen to you and shoot a piece of popcorn at your location based at where your voice was. So like little things like that that you just wouldn't think about and definitely exists in the market somewhere.
You know, I can already find 100 uses of not using that.
that's where I was whenever you mentioned it.
I mean, it sounds like a sideshow at the circus in your living room. And what a mess that would make if you missed.
Really accurate, though.
And on the other side, too, I mean, I'm the huge Star Wars resident nerd. And so there's been some pretty awesome things going on in the world with that, as far as the discovery of a planet that is much like Tatooine, that has its orbiting two suns, which just made my nerd goosebumps.
Is that really true? I haven't read that yet.
Really true. And we even just talked about it a little while ago, about there's another universe that actually has four suns. So just kind of, I like to look at things and go, oh, Star Wars is finally coming true.
And we have buildtheenterprise.org.
Yeah, buildtheenterprise.org.
Star Trek is also coming true.
It's true.
The future is now.
Yes, sure.
Exactly. And in hopefully 20 years.
But exactly. I think in general, the undertone of our show is actually pretty serious and pretty informative. I mean, I think our main goal is to really inform and to entertain. I mean, we really bring up some pretty hardcore topics sometimes, but we bring in insightful topics. Like I think a couple podcasts ago, we were just talking about the involvement of politics into video games.
Right. Yes, that's the episode that I actually heard.
Nice.
That was a very interesting conversation, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was very in depth. I was impressed.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
That's kind of, I think the through line is for presenting information. That's the quest part, and the epic part is hopefully the comedy.
Right. Exactly. Well, and really too. I mean, just kind of us just as friends, just having the conversations that we always have on a regular basis.
Just recording them.
Just recording them now. So
and sharing them with the world.
And you, Sir Groucho.
Well, of course. Well, me and the world. So now, ultimately, what would you say the goal of the podcast is? I mean, there's entertainment, of course. There's, in your case, comedy and information. But ultimately, in the end, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the road, what's the ultimate goal for the podcast?
I would say right now, I mean, we're just trying to develop something that hopefully people want to listen to. And ultimately, you know, we've got some really awesome plans for a YouTube channel that we're wanting to start up with.
Oh, marvelous. Marvelous.
Incorporating, we're trying to get a lot of our friends involved with blogging on our website. And ultimately, you know, being that the Nerdist is one of the podcasts that we listen to most frequently, really kind of trying to create an environment for people to share whatever they're wanting to share with, but kind of under the Epic Podquest flag. Five to 10 years down the road, I would love to be able just to live off of having fun hanging out with my three best friends here.
You and me both.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that it's anyone's quest, if you will, to be able to hang out.
Ah, nice throw in the title there. Not very nice. Who was that? Who was that clever gentleman?
Grant.
You are a person, aren't you, Grant? You are a son of a gun. And I like that about you.
But yeah, we all like to have fun. I mean, that's the whole thing. We have fun every single week. We laugh. We really just tear into some fun subjects. Definitely would love to be able to support ourselves doing this and to be able to break out and do some more things and just have fun 24 hours a day.
And I was going to say, I mean, it's literally the name really does embody everything that we want to do with the quest and everything. It's just kind of, you know, all of us are writers. All of us are, you know, comedy writers or just writers, period. You know, that's a whole realm we want to get into is writing more comedy and performing more comedy and doing all that. And that's kind of where the YouTube channel is coming from.
Now, when you say performing comedy, are you meaning like stand up or are you meaning like short films or short vignettes?
Kind of both. We are talking a lot more and more about doing stand up. We're talking a lot more doing kind of even episodic or kind of bit related episodes on YouTube, just, you know, all sorts of things like that. You know, who knows where it can go. It can start as stand up and then we realize, no, we're a good improv troupe.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's the beauty of where we are right now in the world of podcasts and videocasts and YouTube stations and channels is that everybody can create their own entertainment, but also the viewers can watch it when they want to watch it. It's not a scheduled thing that they need to tune in every week or something.
We'd love to be able to take over the world one laugh at a time. But in a very
you and about 100 million other people.
But we're going to do it first.
But not in the dictatorship way.
Well, that's nice of you. At least you're not going to dictate to everybody. And that works out perfectly then, at least for the three of you. Forget everybody else.
Yeah, I think it's just to, I mean, make it as big as we can and to help out as many people as we can along the way. You know, we have some folks that are going to be blogging on our site soon that we just think there's, you know, potential in their skills and we have faith that they can perform and we want to give them the avenue to take to get there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's part of again, the name is just presenting the quest and you know, challenging, you know, the people we know around us and our listeners. And that's why we want to get guests on the show more and more is to, you know, so everybody else can hear their stories and hopefully inspire and kind of push it there. And along the way, we'll make jokes.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, I think really now we have really kind of had to think more and more about it because starting the podcast, we knew what we were getting into. We're getting into a sea of thousands of podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to listen to it? And then we kind of had like a huge surge in kind of just like noticeability. You know, obviously with you. With Charlie kind of reaching out to us and wanting to be on the show, that blew us away.
And it, you know, it also happened on Charlie's side too. He's been going since January, and he's been bugging me since then too. And it just recently, we're recording right now in October, but in late August, it really started blooming up for him.
And so, we've had a lot of really fortunate opportunity, especially like when we finally got onto iTunes. We had about a month of trying to get on.
Really? It took that long?
But we had a lot of feed technical issues.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Charlie mentioned that to me. In fact, he called me one night just blowing off steam.
But once we got on, I mean, like, the response that we had was incredible. Phenomenal. And we were able to – we were put on the new and noteworthy list within our first week on iTunes.
I heard that on your episode, the same episode where you mentioned that we'd be interviewing. Yes, that's a marvelous thing. Congratulations. Gentlemen, give yourself a round of applause.
Yes, yes. But that essentially was, we kind of looked at each other and were like, this is real.
Yeah, and then we got on the top charts on iTunes, and we spent a few days on the top charts, the top 200.
We keep moving on and off of that.
Then it got even more real, and we probably need to sit down and really kind of figure out what we're doing instead of just talking in front of mics. Yeah. So.
And we've been lucky enough to even have a write-up on another blog from somebody we don't know or not connected to
their company or anything.
Yeah. They didn't even let us know that they wrote the article. I just happened. Epic Podquest.
that's a nice thing to happen. Charlie had that happen with this show, too. In fact, as we cross-promote your show and this show, I'm hoping that we get a new surge of listeners for both of our podcasts. Because I think that's what it's really all about right now, especially in the realm of podcasts. Everybody can do them. They're very simple in the big scheme of things. They're very simple. They're time-consuming, of course, but they're simple. You know, you just sit down, you talk, you record, you edit, you put it up, and it's done. You can do more, you can do less, but that's basically it. And it really takes a chance for other people to support everybody else and say, no, we have this guy on, and he's got an interesting podcast. Or, you know, hey, listen to this local musician who's trying to get on iTunes, and she only has 3 songs, or whatever it may be.
That's personally like one of the things I love the most about the podcast community is that everybody. So incredibly supportive and so awesome.
We were really kind of taken aback about how welcoming everybody was.
Yeah. I mean, it's been great. I mean, with the getting into Character Guys and Young Life Perception and, of course, you guys at the Random Variety Show.
Well, and Wicked Radio Network.
Wicked Radio Network.
And that's marvelous. In fact, Young Life Perception was one of the first podcasting group that we had on the show. We had a couple other podcasters before that, but they helped us blow up as well. And it's ever since then, really, it's been almost speechless.
Yeah,
definitely. I would totally agree with you on that one.
It's a marvelous thing. It's the positive community that you just mentioned has blown Charlie and I away.
Us too.
Exactly.
You wouldn't think in the world of the internet that there'd be such a positive influx of energies for just simple audio entertainment.
Yeah.
It's quite remarkable.
Also stems, though, from just everyone wanting – I mean, we're all wanting the same thing. We want to be successful. And so with everyone wanting to be successful, it really allows us to not only go out and help and participate in making someone else successful, but they're doing the same work for us and getting us up. And we know that everyone's going to take everyone the rest of the way. And
Very well put.
I think it's kind of like this weird brotherhood because, like, as podcasts are blowing up, I mean, in participation, podcasting is still relatively –
Oh, it's in its infancy. It's just born. It's been around for a while, but it's just born.
And it's, I think we're right at the beginning surge of like, you know, it really turning a leaf and kind of growing into something really miraculous. And
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
And yeah.
Going through puberty.
Yeah, we might be there.
We're through that kind of crackly voice stage.
Maybe. Kind of, yeah. We're right at that 12, 13, 14-year-old age.
True. Yeah.
God, that was awkward.
You're welcome, Groucho.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So I think that's part of why the community is so awesome.
Yeah,
and because we're just kind of here helping each other out, trying to get past this pubescent stage of our lives or whatever Justin wants to phrase it.
You're welcome.
That's all right. So, and I know one of Charlie's struggles, because I don't really talk to anybody outside of these interviews, but I know one of Charlie's struggles was, as he tells people, whether they're in real life or people that he knows through Facebook or whatever, you know, he'll say, hey, have you heard the podcast? And they'll say, what's a podcast? Are you still experiencing that?
We probably get it a little bit. The crowd that we kind of interact with, we hang out with a lot of musicians and a lot of nerds and a lot of computer people.
Technologically advanced people.
Yeah, yeah. Technologically
or at least
knowledgeable. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and we really luck out because we most of the time people do. I think some of our older listeners are the only people that I've personally experienced where they're like, what is a podcast? And I'm like, it's like a radio show on the internet. I just also use the
term internet radio.
Yeah. That's exactly what Charlie and I say. Internet radio on demand.
And I think in the younger, or people our age, we're in our late 20s. And I think most of the people have actually pretty much known. There's been a few that's like, how do I do it? Like, how do I listen to a podcast?
Yeah, they've heard of it, but they just don't know how to access it yet.
That's probably, we've had more of that.
Right.
Well, that's marvelous that you've got such a insurge of listeners that are actually knowing what to do. Because I know Charlie's mentioned to everybody, including his family, hey, have you heard the show? And they say, what show?
I'll be honest, I don't know if I'd want my mom to listen to my show.
My mom definitely does listen to my show, and she says, listen, I know that I'm not your demographic, but I just love hearing you laugh.
Well, that's because she's your mom.
Perfect mother response.
My mom really is things my mom says.
My mom started listening and she was like, yeah, I don't know.
I guess I'll find out around Christmas when I go visit family if my mom's listened to it or not.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be the tried and true time. Now, how long has your podcast been going on, by the way? When did you guys start?
Well, September.
Yeah.
Oh, so very recently.
Recently.
I mean, I guess if we want an official date, I can.
We didn't get on iTunes, though, until mid-September, I would say.
Yeah, I think September 14th,
yes.
I think, was our first.
September 14th.
Either release or recording session.
That was our first official recording session, but we weren't in iTunes until a week, almost the end of September.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So,
that's remarkable that it has just taken off like a fire.
It's definitely taken us by surprise.
And that's, again, what's been blowing us away in the whole thing of getting that much interaction and being able to do everything we've been able to do so far in that amount of time.
And yeah, because Charlie's been hoofing along since January, and nothing really started until late August, early September.
Just might have hopped in right at the right time.
You might have jumped on the merry-go-round just as it started to turn.
That's the best part.
Without the carousel that's being pulled by the horse.
Yeah, we assumed it would take a while. We were prepared for it just to spend every week talking in front of mics and maybe having 10 people listen. It's definitely been a blessing for all of us, and the feedback that we've gotten has been really fun too. So
absolutely.
Now I'm gonna switch it up a little bit here. We're talking about internet radio on demand or entertainment on demand, which is where it seems to be going nowadays. You got your Netflix, your Hulu, your podcasts, your videocasts, your YouTube, all those places where you can find entertainment at the click of a mouse or the stroke of a key. But do you think it's because the general population is just getting tired of what's on television?
Oh no!
Here you go, buddy. You're about to open a big can of worms.
Nate just sat back and like cracked his knuckles.
Yeah, it was me. It's Nate.
Ah, all right, Nate, lay it on me.
Man.
How much time do you have?
Well, we're still recording.
I mean, for me, I'm really big in just entertainment period. I mean, being involved in music since birth. I grew up around musicians my entire life, so it's always been a big thing. And I really, targeted music and music growth probably when I was 12. And so everything that I look at kind of follows that realm of perception. So growing into that world of music, I think I've seen a lot of, obviously a lot of format changes going from vinyl to tape to CD to digital downloads. And I think maybe that's given me some hindsight on what's happening or what's possible that can happen. And it's, to me, it's, with the internet in general, I think is what has caused the whole sensation. I mean, basically we can call it entertainment on demand, but really we are now releasing information on demand.
That's one way to put it. Yeah, very true. Very true.
In one of my previous blogs, I wrote about this actually, and it was just like, 20, 30 years ago, plus years ago. If you wanted to know the, weight of the moon, you might be lucky enough to find something in a library after getting your parents' permission to drive you up there and they drop you off and then having to hopefully know the Dewey Decimal System or to ask for assistance and then dig through the books and then dig through pages upon pages upon pages after looking at a glossary that might have been incorrect and then finally finding the information. Where
you sound like you've done this before.
Where now you just simply open a browser, go to one little search bar, and just in the time that I explained it and probably less, we were able to find out the weight of the moon is... Wow, that doesn't even make sense.
So you didn't get an accurate answer.
It's 7.35 times 10 to the power of 22, whatever that means.
Well, that sounds about right to me.
So, you know, so to me, it's kind of the information giving has been presented so much. And we're living in a generation now where, you know, I think I started computers in the second grade. I don't think I started the internet till I was about in the seventh grade, 1997 or so is when it got big.
So, I mean, just like looking at entertainment even more, like the Netflix and stuff like that, like we don't have time to sit down and watch live television most of the time. We're so busy with our lives, jobs, kids, family, things like that, that like having entertainment on demand, like Netflix and Hulu and things like that, even podcasts, just a personal statement, I can sit back and say, listen, I can watch the shows when I want to watch them.
Yeah. And again, I think that's a part of what we're going into is, we've had this plethora of information presented to us, and it's really kind of making us think things like, I don't have time to watch TV because I'm too busy doing all these other awesome things. Yeah. I'm too busy being busy. And so it's great to have this awesome realm of information I can access.
I would say definitely we've gotten more towards the a la carte where, you know, it used to be you would have to get home in time to watch your favorite show. If you're fortunate enough to be the person on the owned a VCR, you could tape the show.
Oh, yes. I remember those days.
Somebody still had to be there because nobody knew how to program the clocks.
Exactly. And so and now kind of like what Nate said with the advent of the internet and how we can get information so quickly, you have everybody making information available. So now it's I get to pick and choose what I want to do.
And there was actually a conversation we had pretty recently between us. It's kind of like, you know, you get to pick and choose what you want to do. And we run into this realm where like everybody has YouTube now. Everybody has a podcast now. Everybody thinks they're famous on Twitter now. All these things. But like one of the things, it's really funny. Like we were talking about YouTube shows the other day, and we saw a YouTube show that was at 10 minutes. And me and Grant, Justin's immediate response was, wow, I wish that show was longer. And
just trying to embarrass Nate while he's talking.
I don't
apologies.
Even know what you're doing. You're,
no, we don't, I don't even know what we're doing
we're
right
not
now.
We're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're just sitting around talking.
Exactly. But no, I said, there was a specific YouTube show that I wish was a little bit longer, and it was only 6 minutes. And I can't remember what you told me, what the reasoning behind that was, Nate.
I was just talking about how, I mean, and generally the attention span of shows don't really last longer than 5 to 10 minutes. And,
oh, that's right.
And you and we were talking about, you know, and I think that's kind of where I was heading with it, was just that, you know, there is so much information now that when you have these shows that are, they only need to be like 5 to 10 minutes long and they entertain everybody. And that, you know, going to TV and stuff, it's really tough. And, you know, we might have something that might be going where entertainment's moving more towards the internet, but, you know,
So you don't think that television as we know it, with the scheduled events and, you know, the show every week at 8 o'clock, you think, are we going away from that, or you think that's going to stick around for a while longer?
I mean, I think it's going to stick around regardless for a while until people learn how to monetize better on the internet, personally. You know, with video on demand and everything, it's going to keep slowly disappearing with, you know, enough to create original content on channels like Hulu and Netflix, and more comedians being independent like Louis C.K.
Ah, yes, right, yes. Well, you just mentioned specific shows for Hulu. I was thinking on Netflix, the rise in demand for Arrested Development.
Yes. And now they're going to be the sole like network, basically, for that show.
Because all the fans watched it and rewatched it on Netflix, and so they said, okay, we'll bring it back.
I think as far as like the 8 o'clock show, I still watch shows at 8 o'clock if I can. Obviously,
but you usually watch them a day later.
Yeah, most of it's DVR'd, but the interesting thing about it is you can definitely see the swing and progression of what television is going for. You know, one of me and Nate's favorite shows to watch is Fringe. And one of the interesting things about that show is they all drive Ford vehicles. And they always highlight interesting things about like the Ford sync system.
Within the dialogue of the show?
The dialogue of the show or just actions that the actors are doing. And so,
I wonder if one of their sponsors is Ford.
That's what's happening is that all of these sponsorships and advertisers are realizing that people are just blazing through the commercials because they've DVR'd everything.
And well, you know, it's very true, and it's very similar to back when I started on radio. We used to go through and give 2-3 5-minute spiels on whatever the advertiser was, whether it's Elgin Cosmetics or DeSoto Plymouth or Camel Cigarettes.
Exactly. So I think that's what's really happening right now is that I think as the big corporations producing these television shows push more and more product into the shows, that's only going to be more of a swing towards the internet surge where where guys like us can do pretty much whatever the hell we want and people hopefully will enjoy and we don't have to have Coke or a Ford vehicle driving
until
in
we start having Coke and Ford vehicles drive in.
Exactly. Right, exactly. You wouldn't turn it down if it knocked on your door, but you can do it without it happening. So yeah, it sounds like it's going backwards as far as advertisement, because think of the old I Love Lucy shows. They always had the products out. They were always smoking cigarettes. They were always talking about what brand of bread they were using. That's the natural flow of progression from radio into television. And now we're kind of going backwards like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting cycle of life.
We're all becoming hipsters. That's what's happening.
Is that what it is? I had a feeling it might be. I just didn't want to be the one to say it. So aside from podcasting and hanging out and sharing stories, do you guys have any other hobbies?
Ooh.
Yes.
Aside from anything we've already spoken about, collecting or comics or anything like that.
I've on and off again collected comics pretty much all my life. I currently have an entire closet full of comics. My office looks like the most amazing toy shop in the world.
Oh, you're one of those.
Hey, for me, this is Grant. Nerf guns.
Yep.
I think all of us have a passion for Nerf guns, but I have at least 3 or 4 right now, and I know Justin has.
I have at least 6.
6?
I think. Yeah.
And 2 of them are fully automatic.
Yeah. Nate wow.
I've got one in my car right now. Like,
I have one on
waiting.
Me right now, actually.
Do you really?
It's in my bag.
Yeah. Wow, you guys are just ready to go at the drop of a hat.
You need to shoot somebody with a piece of foam.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nerf guns are. I absolutely love Nerf guns. I can't get enough of them.
I would. Yeah, I'm going to be working at a comic book convention this weekend here in Dallas. So that's kind of, I don't even consider that work. That's a pleasure.
I love how you're looking at me then. I'm not going to be working at the convention.
True.
I'm just going to be hanging out at the convention.
For the most part, I mean, for all three of us, I mean, we just enjoy hanging out and we love watching movies and, you know, talking about why did they remake this movie or what was great about it and things of that nature. Nate's got his music.
And now listen to this. Hello, listeners. It's little old me again with a word or three from our sponsors. And you might be asking yourself, who would sponsor this show? Well, the Random Variety Show is supported by people like you, the listener. And we've got a plethora of ways that you can support the show. One of the easiest ways is to visit randomvarietyshow.com and click on our Amazon link, located on the left-hand sidebar. Be sure to save it as your favorites or bookmark it for future use. Now, go ahead and make all your purchases on Amazon just as you usually would. And if you've ever shopped or searched through Amazon before, you know that they can have just about everything under the sun on Amazon. In fact, you might even find an Amazon at Amazon. And usually everything's available at below retail prices, with reasonable to no shipping fees. Remember, with every purchase you make through our link, you support the show. You see, pennies for every dollar spent come back to help to continue to provide you with this unique and remarkable program. Another way for you to provide support would be with a direct donation through our donate button located at, well, yeah, you guessed it, randomvarietyshow.com. For the price of a few gallons of gas, you can help support the show. And lastly, if you or your friends enjoy audiobooks or audio entertainment in general, then audible.com is the place for you. with over 100,000 titles of books, magazines, radio shows, and stand-up comedy to choose from, I guarantee you'll find something for everyone. And for listeners of the Random Variety Show, Audible is offering you a free title of your choosing just for trying their service for 30 days. Visit audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow right now to take advantage of this wonderful offer. And now, Charlie, give our listeners a suggestion or two from these 100,000 titles available.
Thanks, Groucho. Today's Audible suggestion is The Jungle Book by Rudyard Kipling, narrated by Ralph Cosham. I chose this one because I personally love the story of Mowgli and the Jungle Book, most popularized by Disney. But this is the complete, unabridged, full stories of the Jungle Book. It includes Rikki Tikki Tavi, Tumai, and a bunch of others. Go out, check it out. It's fun for the whole family. I guarantee it. Back to you, Groucho.
Thanks, Charlie. So visit audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow to get your free download right now. And if anybody asks, tell them Groucho sent you. Oh, and one last thing. Your name can be right here. Contact us at randomvarietyshow.com today. And now, back to the show. Well, gentlemen, this has been a marvelous 45-minute discussion here. I think it's just about time we got into those Bernard Pivot questions, which I so brilliantly end my interviews with. If you're not familiar with them, they're more common from the Inside the Actors Studio television show with James Lipton. They're the 10 in-depth questions that he asks his guests at the end of every show. And since there's three of you, we're going to go round and round the rosy, and I'm going to call out who goes first, and then we'll follow it from there. So, Nate, you get to answer this one first. What is your favorite word?
Word? Oh, wow. rad.
Grant, what's your favorite word?
My favorite word would be superfluous.
Oh, that's a 25-cent word. And Justin, what would be your favorite word?
Oh, man. Indeed.
All right, Justin, you get the next question first. What is your least favorite word?
Oh, drip.
Fair enough. Nate, what's your least favorite word?
Diplomacy. Because I have a hard time saying it.
And that's a good enough reason to not like it. And Grant, lastly, what's your least favorite word?
My least favorite word would probably...
That's a good word not to like. All right, Grant, you get the next one. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Oh, man.
I know the answer already.
If you say Star Trek, that's not true.
It fits all three.
It does. You know, really, for me, it's the chance to create something real and to really connect with someone. So, whether that's in film, I love being able to create a world and to be able to connect with someone in that way, whether it's on a physical or emotional level, things like that.
All right. And all right, Justin, you're next. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
I would say it's a combination of my family, my wife and son, and then, of course, being able to hang out with some three awesome, amazing guys in the podcast. Just hanging out with them, for the most part, I would say if I think I'm doing really awesome, I can have at least one, if not all of them, tell me I'm not, or they push me in the right direction to get it to where it needs to be. So.
And lastly, Nate, what turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Man, it's just, I don't, it's really hard. I guess like, my family and friends, I mean, are really part of my personal inspiration to do things, but I think it's just the maybe the ability to inspire and having the opportunity to do something like that. Probably what really gets me going.
All right. So now, next question. Nate, you get to answer first. What turns you off creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Ooh. The two things everybody has an opinion of or has. I don't know. Politics, really, that really just shuts me down.
All right. And Grant, what turns you off creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Really, when people tell me that I can't.
So just saying something to you that, no, you can't do that, or don't do that, it's not worth it, that's what just turns you off to them?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, just like, I hate when people are so negative about someone trying to be motivating or inspirational or just trying to do something with their dreams. And when someone tells you that you can't do something or that you shouldn't do something because it's outside of the norm, it just completely turns me off to them. To, you know, it does a number on me even as well. I have to rise above that and expel energy to try and overcome some negativity out there.
Hmm. And lastly, Justin, what turns you off creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
I would have to say just condescending attitudes. Not necessarily not being told what I can't do. I think if somebody tells me I can't do it, that's what inspires me to prove I'm wrong. Just being condescending. I love sarcasm, but condescending, when you know it's not being a joke, it really pisses me off sometimes. I would just say condescending attitude that just doesn't enhance.
Fair enough. Now, Justin, you get to answer this one first, and this is usually some people's favorite question. What is your favorite curse word?
All right, so I'm gonna say this, and I want to see if you can figure it out. Fornication under consent of the king.
Very well put. Very well put. Nate, what's your favorite curse word?
Poppycock.
And Grant?
That's a great one. Oh. Do you actually want me to say it on the air?
That's totally fine. If you say it, Charlie's going to beep it out anyway.
It is
the same as Justin.
I was more eloquent, though.
You were, Justin. You were.
Mine's going to get bleeped, and we can have the same. But yeah, no, that's my favorite.
Well, it's got many facets to it.
It really does. So I was just agreeing with you.
All right, Grant, you get to get this one first. What sound or noise do you love?
Oh, man.
Yes! Was that a communicator from Star Trek?
Oh, it might as well have been.
That's your favorite noise. No, it's probably the transporter sound from Star Trek. Nice. It's my text message ringtone. I hear it every time someone sends me a text message.
All right. Justin, what sound or noise do you love?
I would say the 20th century opening music, nice. Because when I was little, every time I heard that, I just automatically assumed it was Star Wars about to start.
I thought you were going to say the sound of lightsabers.
That too.
And lastly, Nate, what sound or noise do you love?
I don't know. lately, it's this one. It's a laser gun I bought at a store, and I keep shooting it all the time because I just love the way it sounds.
All right, that's fair enough. Now, Nate, you get to answer this next one first. What sound or noise do you hate?
Smacking of the food.
Oh, that's a good one.
I often when I get labeled as very not hear somebody smacking because I'm not afraid to tell them, hey, chewing with your mouth closed. It's pretty great.
And Grant, what sound or noise do you hate?
That would definitely be the it would be the chalkboard scrape. You know what I'm talking about?
Ah, the nails on the chalkboard.
For that kind of screechiness, I just don't really dig that one too much.
And Justin, what sound or noise do you hate?
Sound of a dentist drill.
Ah, yes. Many people don't like that. All right, Justin, you get to get this one first. What profession, other than your own, would you like to attempt?
Ooh, that's a really good one. I would probably say a fighter pilot. Kind of do what my dad used to do.
And Nate, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I have a whole list of these things that I want to do at least once in my life. There's one that I would really, really want to do that I'd probably never actually ever do would be to be a fireman.
And lastly, Grant.
Pop producer?
Really?
I'm sorry. Say that one more time. I think we had a Skype hiccup.
I would be a hip producer, hip-hop music producer.
All righty. And Grant, you get to get the next one. What profession would you not like to do?
Oh man, I would have to say, I would not want to be a janitor.
And Justin, what profession would you not like to do?
Guys who are on the show Deadliest Catch. I would not want to be a crab fisherman.
Are you serious? I'd totally do that.
No, I'd be fun to think about, but in reality, it would suck.
All right, Nate, you're last. What profession would you not like to do?
Of Justin wanting to do what his father does, I would not like to do what my father does, which is be a truck driver. It's like the family trade. I can't stand it.
Well, I can see that. Be hard to podcast. All right, Nate, you get to get this last question first. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Welcome. I don't know. Sup. I don't know.
All righty, that's fine. Welcome is a good one. And Grant, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
This is a joke.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
And lastly, Justin, what would you like to hear God say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Oh man, that's so good. Live long and prosper. I have a seat for you at my table.
Marvelous, gentlemen. Tell our listeners how they can find you and Epic PodQuest on the internets.
Okay, well, first off, you can find us on Twitter at Epic Pod.
Our website, epicpodquest.com.
You can find all of our blogs. Yep. A lot of cool information there.
Mm-hmm. You can also email us ask@epicpodquest.com. And if you're into more of the social networking, go to facebook.com/epicpodquest.
Yep.
All right, I'll make sure that Charlie puts those in the show notes for our listeners. Thank you so much again for taking my call today, gentlemen. It's been marvelous.
Thank you,
sir.
Oh, my pleasure. Actually, the pleasure's all of ours.
Yeah. Excellent.
All right, we'll send this on back to Charlie and let him edit this together.
Have fun.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. Now, for you listeners, I want to clear some things up because of the Skype hiccups and things. As we always do, the recapping of the curse words. Well, Justin and Grant both said it in two different ways. Grant was very blunt, and Justin was very eloquent. But it was that good old F word, fooey. Nate wanted to be different than everybody, and so he used that food item by Orville Redenbacher, that snack popcorn food poppycock. Grant said at the end of the interview, or at the end of the Pavot questions, God says this is a joke. That was really hard to hear due to Skype. And then when they gave out their Twitter, darn Skype gave another hiccup, and it was hard to hear, but it's at Epic PodQuest. Oh, and Groucho and I were on their podcast. We were on their episode 6, which aired October 18th, 2012. You can go back and listen to that. Thanks again, guys, for being on the show. Groucho and I really do appreciate it, and we'll see you out there in cyberspace. It's listener feedback time. Yeah. Hey, thanks for everyone that's out there retweeting and sending out the wonderful thoughts and wishes. Thank you so much. This listener feedback actually goes out to a friend of mine who is not into the whole social networking sites, Twitter, Facebook. She just doesn't do it. So she sent me an email and just was so complimentary about how much she enjoys the podcast and enjoys learning more about the new guests that we have on. She had just heard John Labani's and was so excited to hear about the film festival. So a big hearty thank you, Diane, for listening to all the episodes, but more importantly, taking the time to type out an email to me personally and let me know that you enjoy what you're hearing. I do appreciate it. It's voicemail time, 619-407-8770. Give us a call and we'll play it on the show. This first one came from, well, I really don't know who, because they didn't leave a name, but, well, let's play it anyway.
Yeah, I just want to say that I really like the Random Variety podcast show by Charlie Miller, and I really like Groucho. Groucho, you owe me some money, but that's okay. I love you guys' show. I just want to give you guys a shout-out. All right. Thank you very much. Bye. By the way, Groucho, you owe me money.
Mysterious listener, thank you so much for not only enjoying the show, but for calling in the voicemail. And if you send over a receipt, we'll make sure that Groucho gets it, and we'll see what can be done.
Now, in the last couple weeks, I've tweeted out there and Facebooked out there asking you guys to call in and tell us what your Valentine's Day thoughts are and what your plans are for Valentine's Day. Here is our guest from Season 1, Episode 23, Libby Marie.
Hi, Charlie and Groucho. This is Libby Marie from the Two Funny Girls podcast, and I'm calling to say hey and just to show my love and support for the show. I see that you have a post up about asking us to share our thoughts about Valentine's Day. Well, we just did a special bonus edition of Anti-Valentine's Day podcast. So we are, well, I'm single, Leisha's single, and then our special guest is married, but he says he's a guy, so he hates Valentine's Day. So you'll have to listen to hear how we feel about it. Thank you, and congratulations on all your success, and wishing you the best. Bye.
I'll be sure to go check that out, Libby. Thank you so much for calling in. Now, this next voicemail comes from a longtime listener, Brandon Hinson. Thank you so much, Brandon, for not only listening, but also leaving this message.
Hey, this is Brandon Hinson, and I just want to say that I love the Verandum, the Random Variety Show podcast, hosted by Charlie Miller and by the awesome and wonderful Groucho Marx. I want to give a shout-out. Thanks.
Thanks, Brandon. That was awesome. I do really do appreciate it. Thank you and thank you. And for those of you who may know Brandon, he seems to be trying to start his own little podcast. So search out Facebook for that, The Brandon Hinson Show. Well, we've reached that time again. There's the closing show music. I'd like to thank my guests, Justin, Grant, Nate, and sometimes John from Epic PodQuest for being on the show. Thanks, guys, so much. It was such a wonderful interview. I appreciated it. Groucho, thank you for providing the interview, of course. Reggie, Reginald, thank you for producing and editing the program. The website's randomvarietyshow.com. Everything you need to know about the show is at randomvarietyshow.com. You'll find links to our sponsors, Amazon, Audible, our direct donate button, our Twitter link, Facebook, Google+, Tumblr, Instagram. You can find our iTunes link. Hey, if you use iTunes, do us a favor, do us a solid, give us a 5-star rating and a review, or at least just a 5-star rating, well, I hope for a 5-star rating. You can also find our link to Stitcher, and if you use Stitcher Radio, give us a thumbs up. It helps spread the word about the show. The voicemail number, as I said before, 619-407-8770. You can listen to us on the Blueberry Network, the BlackBerry Podcasts Network. We can be found every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on the WQ4D Radio Network at WQ4DRadio.com. We're also part of the Pod Gods Network, podgodsnetwork.com. The email address, therandomvarietyshowpodcast@gmail.com. But like I said, everything can be found at randomvarietyshow.com. Our guest for next episode, podcaster Nick Gauss from Divided by Zero Podcast. Sound effects for this episode provided by GarageBand and freesound.org. You've been listening to the RVSP, the Random Variety Show podcast. Remember, there is no need to RSVP for the RVSP. This is Charlie Miller saying, 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 take care of yourself and each other. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next time. Good night.
Mr. Marx appears courtesy of the chaotic prattle and vibrations of Mr. Miller's larynx and the marvelous wizardry of the internet.